Before we go any further, we need to figure out and define what is meant by cultural Marxism. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we are into our second episode of a new series. And the new series is basically called Falling Away, and it has a lot to do with the subject of political correctness, something that is affecting our world on a grand scale. And that's what we're talking about now. So I thank you for joining me. William S. Lind is a well-known individual who has spoken a good deal about the phenomenon that we might call, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, cultural Marxism. And here's what he says about it. He said, cultural Marxism is a branch of Western Marxism that's different from the Marxism-Leninism of the old Soviet Union. It's commonly known as multiculturalism, or less formally, political correctness. From its beginnings, Lind continues, the promoters of cultural Marxism have known that they could be much more effective if they concealed the Marxist nature of their work, hence the use of the terms such as multiculturalism and also political correctness. Now, in short, cultural Marxism opposes anything and everything that is traditional in scope and based largely on biblical tenets. In other words, if it's based on traditional biblical values, Marxism opposes it. For instance, in the Bible, marriage is between one man and one woman. Opposing that means pushing for gay and lesbian rights, which allows two men or two women to marry one another, elevating that union to the same standard as two members of the opposite sex marrying, which is not showcased, which is not highlighted or promoted in Scripture. Now, as the Bible sees the male as the spiritual head of the home, cultural Marxism seeks to reverse the roles, or at the very least, make everyone completely equal, spiritually speaking, so that there are no differentiation in roles. Now, that's not to say that in a Christian home, even when the husband is the head of the home, it does not mean that somehow the wife, the mother, is less than. It simply means that these are the roles that God has defined for the family that he created. Marxism attacks that. Anything that attacks biblical mandates and tenets is seen as the new normal, while biblical mandates become antiquated. They're outmoded. They're based on hatred. Therefore, those who continue to live by those values, observe them, are haters themselves. This, of course, leads to speech codes and addresses the issue of hate speech. Now, concluding that the Bible prohibits homosexual unions is tantamount, then, to hate speech, and will one day be illegal in the United States as it currently is in the UK and parts of Canada, depending on how it is expressed. Not long ago, it was announced that the Department of Justice has decided to work with Muslims in a way so that if people bash Islam on social network sites, the Department of Justice wants people to know that they could be violating Muslims' civil rights. And if that's the case, there will be penalties. That's what they're trying to tell us. It is an attack on First Amendment. Now, essentially then, one of the fundamental goals or foundational goals of cultural Marxism is ultimately to eradicate Christianity, period. It wants to, in the short term, silence it. In the long term, obliterate it. This has been in the works since World War I. Has it been a conspiracy where human beings have gathered together for the purpose of trying to accomplish this? I don't really know. But I do know that from the spiritual realm, Satan has done everything he can to turn things upside down in society so that we have come to a point where evil is called good and good is called evil. And there should be a problem with that. God has a problem with it. Now, if you consider the fact that if this has been in the works since World War I, it's really not at all difficult to see that cultural Marxism went mainstream above ground in the 1960s in the counter-revolution, or the counterculture. If we consider all that took place during that one decade alone of the 1960s, it becomes easy to see how society has increasingly opposed anything biblical. In the 1960s, we took God, His Word, and prayer out of the public schools. In the 1970s, we made it legal to kill unborn children. Sadly, there are many so-called Christians who have little to no problem with abortion, and because of it, many can easily vote for a pro-abortion political candidate. So in the space of just over 10 years, we passed laws that literally through God and the Ten Commandments out of the public schools, out of the public venues. And then we completely ignored commandments like the sixth one, thou shalt not kill. Whatever America's foundation was built on, we collectively voted to overturn it in the 60s and 70s. Now, since that time, what has been the result? Crime has gone up. Families have split apart. Children have experienced problems and difficulties like ADHD, depression, and a host of mental ailments that are coming home to roost. Oh, never fear, though, because atheists and humanists alike have always been trying ever since they were aware of themselves to replace God, His Word, and prayer with something else entirely. It's got many names, depending upon the branch of society through which it's been introduced. It's called New Age, Reiki, mindfulness, humanistic psychology, Darwinism, ecumenism, socialism, diversity training, relativism, political correctness, globalism, speech codes, new media, mainstream or mainline Christianity, Christian cultural Marxism, postmodernism, emergent church, Frankfurt School, and a whole bunch of other things. You know, the saddest part, of course, is that nothing can replace God. Absolutely nothing. John 14:6 says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a way, a truth, or a life. Yet Satan continues to lie to the world, telling society that we can find peace with God and happiness within ourselves with something other than God. This is essentially the same lie he used against Adam and Eve. One of the big new things making its way into public schools is called mindfulness, or mindfulness of purpose. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a way of thinking that teaches students and educators how to help themselves make good decisions. Ultimately, what is absolutely fascinating about it is that it is based directly on the main tenets, the eight main tenets of Buddhism. Reiki, which is growing in usage in many health clinics, is also based on Buddhist techniques. Again, you know, I'm going to have far more detail later on, but basically this is what education is becoming. When we take the time to look squarely in the face of the society in which we now live, it becomes clear that because we have kicked God out of schools and out of virtually every place in society except houses of worship, we see that society has failed and it will continue to fail. The devolution, or devolution, however you want to pronounce that, is nearly complete. The great falling away has taken and will continue to take place globally. It's not just the fact that tremendous numbers of people who have previously professed to be Christians are moving out of and away from Christianity, often becoming either agnostics, but most of the time they're becoming atheists. It's not just that. more to the point is the fact that all of society is moving away from any desire to even know God on a personal level, just as society has previously done. And Paul describes this perfectly in the first chapter of Romans. Yet we have what are known as mega churches, where thousands of people gather every week to, quote unquote, worship God. How do we account for that? Well, the same Apostle Paul, who speaks of the great falling away, also tells us that the growing desire of people to have their ears tickled is also prevalent. 2 Timothy 4:3. Now, this, of course, is when a person only wants to hear things that make him feel good about himself, others, or life in general. They just want to feel good. Unfortunately, there are way too many preachers who are far more inclined to tell people what they want to hear as opposed to what they need to hear and what God wants them to know. Society, as a society, is falling away. We're watching it. It's been doing it for some time, and it will continue. People have been arrested for kneeling in prayer in front of the White House or the building that houses the Supreme Court. This happened several times in 2012 alone. Now, in the end, cultural Marxism attacks the very fundamental rights of American citizens as guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Through speech codes, political correctness, and multiculturalism, policy and even laws are passed denoting when something is considered to be hate speech. This is wrong. It's an abrogation of the First Amendment. It's good when people are allowed to express themselves freely. Is it good when people use terms that offend others? Of course not. But to make laws or policy against it is absurd. It simply whittles away at our rights. Let's not even talk about who gets to decide what constitutes hate speech. Cultural Marxism encourages people to think that laws must be enacted for the safety of all people, but too often wind up simply reducing the rights of the law-abiding citizen. Such is the case with respect to the fervor over the Second Amendment. All people should be willing to give up gun rights so that everyone will be safer. Yet there's no way to ensure that criminals are ever going to comply. This is cultural Marxism because it tries to make guns, in this case, the bad guy, when the bad guy is still the person who wields the gun and uses it for criminal activity. Cultural Marxism can do nothing about that bad guy. Yep, there are signs in our society that show us that a falling away has been at work within Christendom. But there's also a falling away from any semblance of biblical standards and morality in society as a whole. This falling away is described by Paul as a rebellion in the English Standard Version of 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It's called the apostasy in the New American Standard Version, and the phrase "people rise up against God" is used in the New International Version. Now, the sense here is that this will occur throughout society, not just within Christendom, throughout society. The further people go from God, and the more they want no part of Him, the greater will their rebellion be. Their attitudes will mirror their hearts. They will no longer serve anything but themselves. So where does that leave society? Well, for godless people, it leaves them without hope. However, that may wind up being a good place for many because in their hopelessness and despair, God may yet open their eyes so they can see the truth. He may also use those of us who already know Him to open their eyes. And because of that, we always need to be prepared to get an answer for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, 1 Peter 3:15. As long as a person has breath, salvation is available. And we're going to continue this next time. We're going to get more into this, talking about America, when America jumped the shark. I hope you'll join me then. And in the meantime, until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.